Open your Bible tonight, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 61, Psalm 61. And tonight I want to bring something that I trust will be a help to every one of you. Ask that you would pray for the meeting, that you would pray for Brother Jones and myself as we get messages and get ready. It'll be a little easier for him. His wife is here with the outlines and material he'll need. I'll have to call my wife every night and make sure that I have everything in order that way. But you do pray that the Lord would give us just exactly what He wants us to hear and what He wants us to have. I came with one intention, that's to try to be a help and try to be a blessing. And I'm not looking to hurt anyone or cause any problems. I don't have to leave home to cause problems. And I'm looking just to be a blessing, and I trust that the Lord will give us that blessing and He will do something in our life. I want to bring a message to you that I preached in my church not long ago. And it is a very simple message, as all of my messages are. But it is one of the greatest truths that you'll ever get a hold of as a Christian to help you to have victory in your life. It's a message that the Lord gave me over 20 years ago, and I haven't preached it for over 20 years until I preached it not long ago in our church. It did a lot to help our folks that were there. It did a lot to be a blessing to them. And it will do a lot to help you if you'll take it and put it to practice in your life. Psalm 61 and verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thank God for that sentiment. Somebody took that and made a song about it. I can't sing. I just entitled some of my messages after songs, and it makes me feel musical every now and then. But lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Would you go with me to the Lord as we go in prayer and ask him to bless the word tonight? Lord, our hearts have already been blessed by just being able to be here. And we feel, as David said, that great psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We thank you for all the help that we've got at your house, God. We thank you for those times when we've just been down and defeated and come in. Maybe hear a song or a message from the Word of God. It would lift our spirits. And we thank you for this chance to meet again with your people in your house. We pray tonight that you would bless the Word of God, that you would take it, that the Word of God would be given in a way that is pleasing and honorable to thee, and that you would give us the ability and the power and the freedom that we need to deliver this message, Lord, tonight. Now, Lord, I know that I have something that will help these Christians that are here tonight, and I pray that you'd use me as an instrument in your hand, a vessel of righteousness for your honor and your glory, and minister to the heart of every one of God's children that are here tonight. I pray that you'd be with anyone here that might be lost and has never been saved, doesn't know the joy of salvation, that you'd speak to their heart and show them their need of Jesus Christ and show them their need of salvation, and may tonight be that night when they trust thee. Use these meetings, Lord, to strengthen your people, to strengthen this church and to make it a better church and to help each and every one of us that we'd have a fresh new desire to live for you. And we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article not long ago about 60 young people who went on a bicycle trip. Now, what is it, your normal bicycle trip? They went on a trip 12,000 miles that went through 34 states and took them 10 months to go on. Now, I like riding a bike. I like exercising, but I don't know why anybody would want to go on a 12,000-mile journey for 34 states for 10 months on a bicycle. But people do all kinds of strange things, and they did that. A group of these young people went, and as they went, of course, they had to cross some desert. They had to cross some steep mountain passes. They had to go through some areas in large cities where there was a lot of traffic. And in their mind, they often wondered, would they make the journey? Could they make the trip? They'd face a lot of rain. They'd face storms. They'd face things maybe that they had never been able to face before. And after just a few weeks into the trip, one of the young ladies that was there on this bicycle kind of got second thoughts about going on such a long trip. And when she did, she called home and talked to her brother on the phone and said, I don't think I can make it. Said, I'm tired, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong. And her brother encouraged her and said, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. And she said, no, this and that, and this is going wrong, and I just have second thoughts about it. And as her brother began to talk to her, he said everything that he could to try to encourage her. And finally, when he got near the end of the phone conversation, he said something that helped her that will help us. And he said this, don't look at the whole trip, just take it one day at a time. And he said, if you look at the whole trip, it'll overwhelm you. If you look at the whole trip, you'll be overburdened and overworked, and you won't be able to make it through. And I want to tell you tonight that that may be the secret of finishing our race for the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that many people get overwhelmed in God's work is they look at the whole trip rather than just looking at it one day at a time. A lot of people get overburdened because they look at something and say it's too big, it's too hard, and it's too difficult. And I would say tonight without hesitation, if a lot of us preachers could go back and would have seen the whole trip in front of us, we might have been discouraged and defeated before we ever started out. But you don't live the Christian life a week at a time, a month at a time, or a year at a time. You live it one day at a time. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes on that thought, living one day at a time. Living one day at a time. For many of us that are here, the way may look long. The temptations may look great. And it may look like the enemy is winning. But the secret to victory in our life and the secret to continuing as a Christian is to just take life one day at a time. I've read several things about Will Rogers, and I always enjoyed his humor, and I always enjoyed the wisdom that he had. One day they had him asking him a bunch of questions about different things and situations in his life, and somebody asked him, they said, Will Rogers, if you knew you only had 48 hours to live, how would you spend your time? And without any hesitation, he said, 1 hour at a time. And there's real wisdom in that, because that's all we're going to live is 1 hour at a time, one day at a time, one step at a time. And some of you tonight may be overcome by something that's going on in your life. You may be overwhelmed and you may be overburdened with something that is there, because instead of taking it one day at a time, you're looking into the future, looking at the whole trip, looking at the whole picture, and you can't make it. I'll tell you how to make it. Make it one day at a time. Get up every morning and start your day with God. Have fellowship with Him. Ask Him to give you grace to make it through that day. And when you go to bed that night, thank God for His mercy and grace that He gave you. And say, I made it one day. Now I'll get up and make it another day as well. Most of us get in trouble when we try to live more than one day at a time. Most of us get upset when we try to live. And if you'll think about what I'm saying tonight, a lot of our frustration and a lot of our aggravation in the Christian life is because we get in the middle of a problem or a situation or a difficulty. It looks overwhelming, and I've been in some things that look overwhelming. It looks like there's no way out. You ever been in anything that looked like there was no way out? Have you ever been in anything that looked like there was no way out? Have you ever been and looked at something that just overwhelmed you and you just went to God and said, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get it through. I don't know how I'm going to come out. But you did come out. You're here tonight. God has preserved you to this hour. And I'll tell you how He did it. One day at a time. One step at a time. Let me give you this simple truth tonight that will help you. And I don't want to think that oversimplifying what the Christian life is all about, but I know it's lived one day at a time. There must be a daily crucifixion in our life. Paul said, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said this, I die daily. The greatest Christian in the New Testament, one of the greatest Christians in the church himself, one of the greatest preachers that anybody ever heard was Paul, and he said, I die daily. There must be a daily crucifixion in our life. Now look up here and listen to what I'm going to say. This is where it all starts. This is the jumping off place. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where it all begins for you and I. If we're going to live for the Lord, what we've got to do is get up each day and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Because what upsets us is when God's will crosses our will and we don't like what He's doing. And what we must learn to do is to crucify ourselves, mortify ourselves, put ourselves down and say, not my will, but your will. Isn't His will best? Not my way, but His way. Isn't His way best? Not my work, but your work. Isn't His work best? We've all got in trouble in our lives when we had our way, when we had our will, and we did our work, and I did it, as Elvis Presley said, my way. Hey, if that's doing it your way, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it God's way. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. There must be a daily crucifixion in our life. Lord, whatever you bring in this day, by your grace, I'll accept it. Whatever you give or take in this hour, by your grace, I'll accept it. One day at a time. This is the secret, dying to ourselves. This is the first step, crucifying ourselves. This is the starting place where we mortify ourselves, dying to selfish plans and things that I would want or things that you would want. My Christian life has not went the way I planned it to go. My Christian life has not went the way I thought it would go. But I'll tell you what, by hindsight, I'm a genius. Amen? I mean, don't you hate to do something or mess something up and somebody said, well, if you'd asked me, I could have told you. Where were those dumb thumps at when you were doing it? Amen? Everybody knows the answer to your problem after you created a problem. Everybody knows how to solve what you messed up after you messed it up. Everybody has a better way of doing it once you've blown it. Amen? I mean, let me tell you something tonight. I want you to know tonight that as a Christian in our life, there must be a point where we die to our selfish plans, our pleasures, our priorities in our life must become God's priorities. We must not look to ourselves. We must not listen to ourselves. And we must not live for ourselves, but we must live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story, it's been several years ago now, in a book about getting serious about your faith. That title caught my attention. The book was no good, but there was one or two good stories in the book. Some of them fellows are real smart writers. They get a book, catch your attention, to the book, sorry itself. I'm going to write a book on the rapture, and I'm going to date the rapture, but it'll be about 2050. That way I'll have 53 years to sell my book, see? Ain't as dumb as I look, amen? Don't say he's coming in 1999. You ain't got but 2 years to sell your books.
Pick out a year, 2050. Say, he's coming back again. I got the facts. I tell you when the Lord's coming back again. When he comes. That's when he's come. And you're not going to know the day. Nobody's going to know the day because God doesn't want it. Most of us, if we did know the day, it wouldn't help us any. We're supposed to live every day expecting the Lord to come again. But there was a story in that book about a young lady who was saved and surrendered to the Lord as a missionary. And she wanted to go as a missionary to China. Knew that's what the Lord wanted her to do. Well, she met a nice young man at church, and they began to see each other and begin to date, court, and see each other there in the church as far as those things were concerned. And they got kind of serious about each other. And finally, the day came where they were planning on getting married, or at least he was planning on asking her to marry him. One day, he did. He came in and asked that she would marry him. He had surrendered to be a preacher, but he wanted to be a pastor, and he wasn't going to be a missionary. And here this young lady faced this dilemma. She could marry this man and be a pastor's wife. Good thing to do, amen? Say amen, nod your head. Good thing to do, amen? I didn't say the best thing to do. I said a good thing to do, amen? It'd be a good thing to do. Be a preacher, preacher's wife. I think it's all right myself, anyway. And she could have done that. But he wasn't going to the mission field. And she knew God had called her to be a missionary. And even though she cared for him greatly, and even though she thought she loved him, she had to make a decision. And finally she told him no, that she could not marry him because God's perfect will would not be done in her life. She cared for him. He cared for her. She knew him. They were both saved. They were both going to be in the ministry, but it was not God's perfect will. That day, she died to her own desire. That day, she died to her own human legitimate dream. She died to her will, and yet she stayed true to God. God gave her a missionary husband. They went to China and did a great work for God. But she had to die to herself. Not my will, not my way, not my works, but God and God's alone. There must be a daily crucifixion. I'll tell you something else. There must be a daily cross-bearing in our life. In the New Testament, Jesus said to them all that were there, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Bible tells us there must be a daily crucifixion, giving up your will, letting it become God's will. And there must be a daily cross bearing as well. All of God's saints that are serious about serving the Lord have some kind of cross to bear. Every saint of God in the Bible and in the history of church who sold out and surrendered to the Lord that we know anything about had a cross to bear. Paul, who was that great Christian in the New Testament, had an infirmity in the flesh that he prayed for the Lord to take away, but he never did. And God said instead, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, we serve a good God, amen. He may not take it away, but he'll give you grace to be able to bear it. You can't beat God. He's the best God there is. And he said, I won't take it away, but I'll give you grace to be able to bear it. The highest and holiest saint that ever lived had a cross to bear. The greatest and the grandest Christian that ever lived had a cross to bear. We must make a decision as a Christian in this life that we're going to daily bear our cross. Yours might be some trial or some testing. It might be some temptation that you have to constantly fight and watch every day of your life. Temptation varies for people. What bothers you doesn't bother me. What bothers me doesn't bother you. Temptation for one person is nothing but ridiculous stuff for somebody else. And what upsets one person is not the same with somebody else. It may be that you have some kind of a disappointment in your life or a disaster. It may be you've got some kind of health problem. There are a lot of people who are in bad health and are not going to get in good health until their life ends or Jesus comes back again.
While we sit here tonight, most of us enjoy good health. There's people that'll never get out of the hospital, never get out of the nursing home, and never get out of bed on their own again. Thank God for what He's done for you and I. Thank God for the good health that He's given to each one of us. But some people have that. Some people. I've got an aunt in my church in Pensacola. She has cancer. She started going through every test you can imagine. Now they're going to try to decide what kind of treatment to give her. And she really doesn't have to go to the doctor because there's so many physicians in our church that they could heal her of whatever she has. But they, you know, everybody trying to tell her what to do, but she has that. And she's going to have that unless the Lord miraculously heals her. Some people have family problems, whether it be involved with your husband or your wife or your children. Some people have problems with the job and the work and the stress that is involved there. Some people don't like to work. Some men don't like to work. My daddy told me a long time ago, he said, son, you don't have to like work, but you have to go to work. Amen? He said, you don't have to like it, but you got to go. I wanted a car. He said, fine, son, go buy you a brand new one. Help yourself. Knock yourself out, dude. Amen? He said, they're down there, it's a lot. You can go get one. He said, the insurance is nice for one your age. Amen? So I bought one about 20 years old and laid anointed it with oil and tried to make it run a few times. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something. Work is there. And a lot of times people look at, hey, ladies, I know housework. Oh, man, I tell you what, housework just never ends. Amen? Do them dishes, they get dirty again the next day. Dirty them clothes, they get dirty the next day. And I tell you what, it can be a very tiring and a lot of times an unappreciable job. But when you work and do your housework, don't just think it's a job. Think about it as a gift to your husband and to your children. Don't say, I'm just cleaning the house. Say, I'm doing this, number one, for the Lord. I'm doing it for my husband. I'm doing it for my children. When you men go to work, if you don't have a job you absolutely fall in love with, but I know most of you men jump up every Monday morning. Hallelujah! Get to go off to work again today. I get to go out there and this old world and work again. But if you don't exactly have that kind of victory, think about, I'm doing it for my wife. I'm doing it for my children as a gift to them. Daily cross-bearing is a part of our life. And I know tonight some of you may have some emotional problems, some physical problems, and some spiritual problems. And I know some of you may be at the end of your rope. Tie it up and hang on. God will bring you through. You say, I got this going on in my life. I got that going on in my life. And with a congregation this size, there's various crosses to bear and various problems that are there. Don't look at the whole trip. Don't look at the whole picture. Don't try to solve it in one day. You didn't get there in one day. You're not going to get out in a whole day. But just learn to take it one day at a time. Make it through this day. Get up and ask God to help you to make it through the next day. Make it through that day. Get up and help. Ask God to help you make it through that next day. Living one day at a time is the secret to victory for you and I in this Christian life. There's a daily crucifixion, there's a daily cross-bearing, and there's a daily communion with God. You talking to God and God talking to you. So simple, so fundamental, and so basic, but it must be done. Daily devotions in our life, a daily dedication and a daily determination. The psalmist said, Lord, I have called daily unto Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. The Lord wants you and I to daily commune with Him. Keep your devotions simple. If you don't keep them simple, they'll become a drudgery instead of a delight. Don't think you have to race through your Bible and become a, you know, just, you know, well, I got to read my Bible through once a month. If I don't read it through once a month, I'm going to be backslidden. Or I've got to do it. Hey, you may not get through it but once a year. And if it took some of you 2 years, if it went through you while you're going through it, you'll get the job done that needs to get done. Keep your devotions simple. Keep them short.
A lot of people say, well, boy, when I was a young preacher, I struggled with this. John Wesley got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes. He went to bed at 7 o'clock. That's why he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Bless God, if I went to bed at 7 o'clock, I could get up at 3 in the morning. Amen? Well, I've got to do this because John Wesley did it, and I've got to do this because Charles Spurgeon. No! Where do you ever find that in the Bible? Amen? Hey, keep them where they're simple. Keep them in your life where they're not complicated and short. As you start out a little bit, you'll get hungrier and hungrier. You can't eat just one chip at a time. I mean, you take one and it'll get you going. Somebody says you are what you eat. Oh, God help me through the holidays if that's true. Amen. Because if I am what I eat, I'm nothing but sweets and Bluebell ice cream. I mean, it is just... let me tell you something. But spiritually, it's the same way. Get a taste for it. Get a hunger for it. And it'll increase. Your devotion time will increase if you do it daily in your life. Keep it sweet. Make it something that's enjoyable. And get a system. Make it a habit. Boy, we talk about habits and habits, and we use words in a bad way. But there are some good habits to get into. Amen? I'm glad when I first got saved, I got into the habit of going to church. I had a dad who made it his ministry to make sure I got in the habit of going to church. Didn't matter how late I stayed out, I worked every Friday and Saturday night for about 3 years till 1 o'clock in the morning. My uncle owned a pizza house. I had a teenager's job that was a dream. I made pizzas. I mean, what a job, man. And we got to eat. My cousin would call in fake orders. Nobody'd pick them up. And I don't know what happened to them. They just didn't come by. We ain't going to throw it out. Amen. But let me tell you, I'd get off work at 1 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'd get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, we got up for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We went to everything. If they had a revival, we went just every service. My dad never heard too good, and the church got saved and had about 2,000 people. One night he jerked me up, said, I said, where are we going? He said, we're going to church. I said, man, it's Monday night, no revival. He said, I know, but there's some meeting there. Yeah, we got there, there's 500 women in the building. We were the only men at that meeting. I said, Dad, get your hearing aid, man. I mean, here we are. 500 women and two men. He said, oh, looks like a ladies' meeting. I said, yo, man, yes, sir. He caught on right away. Right away. But I think one thing, he instilled in me a system of being faithful in God's house that to this day I've never got over. My pastor instilled in me, ingrained in me, take you a little time, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it may be, but have you a daily communion with God? I was reading a book the other day. I've got a book by a big game hunter called Death in the Long Grass or Tall Grass. I can't remember which one it is. By a big game hunter, and he hunts all kinds of big game, elephants and tigers, lions, alligators, and it's a very fascinating book, and the guns that he uses to get, well, you animal lovers. Anyway, it's a nice book, and I was reading this book, and he was telling about Africa, and he said this. It was just something he said in passing. He said, every day, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. I said, buddy, that's something else, isn't it? I mean, a gazelle wakes up. And he says this. Every morning that gazelle wakes up, he knows he's got to be fast enough to outrun the lion that is out to get him. And if he doesn't stay on his toes, and if he isn't ready every day, he'll become that lion's meal before the day is over. Let me tell you something, Christian. Every day we get up, there is an adversary out to destroy you and me. And if you're not seeking the Lord, the devil is getting the advantage of you in your life. There must be a daily communion.
Now, not only that, there must be daily care for others. Daily care for others. The biggest blessing most of us, many people, could have is just get your mind off of yourself and get it on somebody else. Pity parties have killed more Christians than anything else. Pity parties are inexpensive, and you don't have to send out cards or balloons. You can have it all by yourself. I will tell me how bad I've got it, and myself will say, "You're right. Amen, brother." Myself will say, "Me's never had it like this," and I will say, "You are online today. Shake that tree one more time." Myself will say, "Nobody's ever been treated as unfairly," and I will say, "Yes, I'm a better person than that." And me will say, "That's the truth if I ever heard it." And you know, to have a pity party, you don't need but one little person, you. You can sit in there and look like all your M&Ms melted in your hand at one time. Look like somebody busted your birthday balloon, amen? Come in with your bottom lip hanging down below your belly button, man. Let me tell you something. The way to do that is to have a daily care for other people. The way to beat that, Hebrews said, exhort one another daily while it is called today. In Acts, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Look and pray for chances to witness and to warn somebody daily. You may not be able to win somebody to the Lord every day. I like soul winning. I believe in it. I believe you ought to practice it. But all of us are not going to be soul winners that go out and win somebody every day of our life. And I wonder sometimes about some people that do, what happens to all those people. In Pensacola, there's a church having a revival. It's been going on, or what they call a revival, for a year and a half. Brownsville Assembly of God, charismatic, slain in the spirit, watch out, chopper, you know, whatever's going on. I was in a Baptist church where somebody got slain in the spirit. A deacon got mad and took his Bible and hit somebody in the head with it. That's close as Baptists ever get to it, I guess. But that thing's been going on for a year and a half. And they said there's been 80,000 people saved. The population of Pensacola proper is 70,000. That's a miracle, isn't it? That's a miracle. I mean a miracle. You say, what is it? I don't believe that for one second. Where are they at? What are they doing? Well, if that was true, there'd be 100 more churches in Pensacola. And Pensacola doesn't need 100 more churches, but I mean, there would be. Let me tell you something. But just because somebody abuses or misuses something that is good doesn't mean we should back away from it. You ought to try to witness to one person every day. Amen? At the end of the year, if that was true, 365 people would have heard about Jesus from me and you and you and you. And multiply it by however many hundred here, and a lot of people would have heard about the Lord. Make a visit. You say, "I can't visit." Pass out a tract. It's a good witness. Amen? I got saved through reading a gospel tract years ago. It was one thing that brought conviction to my heart. And later on, I got saved. You say, "I can't visit. I don't get many chances to pass out tracts." Pick up the telephone. You ladies, talk on the telephone. Husbands, get your elbow out of her side right now. You hear? Use the telephone. You could do that. I'll tell you something else you could do. Pick up the newspaper. They have all those births in there. Get you a nice congratulations card for somebody having a baby. Put a gospel tract in it and say, "It's wonderful that God's given you life. Do you have eternal life?" And stick a tract in there and witness. There's always obituaries in the paper. And you know you're getting old when you get up and read the obituaries to see if you're still alive. Amen? Yep, made her through another day. Amen. Still here. But look down there in the address. Get a sympathy card. Say, I don't know you personally, but I read this in the paper. I don't know whether your loved one knew the Lord or not. There's not much we can do for them other than to know they're before the Lord. But do you know Him? There's tragedies that happen every day in the newspaper. Get your name and address and write and say, I'm so sorry to hear you went through this. You had a car wreck. Your house burnt down. You lost a loved one. Witness. There is a way to do it. Several years ago now, I had a family in our church that came that said, we've got a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend whose brother died, and they want you to do the funeral. I said, will they go to church? And they said, no, don't have a pastor. I said, I'd be glad to, but you know, when I go, I'm going to preach the gospel. They said, that'll be fine. So I went and preached that. And it must have been 2 to 3 years ago. And I went, and there was a man there named Mr. and Mrs. Mock. Mrs. Mock was the brother of this man who had died. He was 70-some years old. Thank God I led him to the Lord about 6 months before he died. He had cancer and was going downhill, and he got saved, and I thank the Lord for that. And they came and was there. A year and a half went by. I never saw him. 6 months ago, they showed up at our church. And you know what she said? I was going through some things, and I looked at this funeral and some papers that I had of my brother and said, preacher, we promised you we'd be out to your church, and we never came. So they came. They came there. And I said, well, I'm glad you're here. Come back. They came back the next Sunday, the next Sunday. After about 4 Sundays, I was preaching on a Sunday morning, looked over to my left, and here was this man and woman, 60 and 65 years old, kneeling at the altar, and got saved. And Sunday night before I left, I had them and 5 other adults that were over 50 in the baptismal pool getting saved as a result of going out and preaching a funeral for somebody I didn't even know. You said, were you busy? Always busy. Did it cut in on your time? Yes. But I'll tell you what it was an opportunity to care for somebody else, to show that that is there. Make it a practice daily. Last of all, not only a daily crucifixion and a daily cross-bearing, daily communion and a daily caring for others, but a daily continuance. Stay with it. Keep at it. One day at a time. That's how it's accomplished. In the book of Acts, it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm always fascinated in the Old Testament with the story of the Jews wandering in the wilderness. And for 40 years, God clothed them and fed them without McDonald's, Burger King, Kmart, or Walmart. That's a miracle, amen? Most of us couldn't live without those 4 stores right there. I took my wife out to McDonald's last week, just said, we're going, honey. I don't care how much it costs. Supersize. Just go ahead. Throw caution to the wind. I was in the airport this morning. I was so sleepy, and I got up, and I was trying to get awake, and I went over and bought a cup of coffee. I don't usually buy anything at the airport, and I knew I shouldn't. I just walked up and said, give me the smallest coffee you got. Okay, $1.75. I said, no, ma'am, I don't want a bagel or anything with it. I just want a coffee. She said, that's all you get. There's 2 people here. I said, no, I'm not buying. For these 2, I just want 1 cup of coffee. $1.75. I took 30 minutes to drink it. I just sipped every bit of it that was possibly there. I mean, let me tell you. But I'm amazed at how they wandered in that wilderness. And God fed them. One thing that's always been something that was instructive to me is how he gave them just enough manna every day. He said there'll be just enough for that day. And he said that if you gather too much, it'll spoil and it won't last for the next day. And if you gather a little, then God will make that work. But I often wondered why God did that one day at a time. How many of you think God could have given them a week's supply at one time? Say amen. How many of you think he could have given them a month's supply? A year. Well, he's God. He don't have a problem with nothing. But he did it one day at a time. And do you know why? The psalmist said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And in Deuteronomy, he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know what God's going to do for us each day if we seek him? He's going to give us the wisdom to know what to do and the strength to be able to do it. He was teaching them a lesson one day at a time. I believe when we call what's the Lord's Prayer and we read what the Lord did there in the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, he said, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Paul said, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God doesn't promise you strength for a week, for a month, for a year, but he promises it day by day. And if you'll seek him, he'll give you that strength that you need. I was reading a magazine. There's an article in there by a lady that kind of caught my eye. I was reading a story that she had to tell. She had was telling of the experience of a mother and having a child. She had had her second baby, and they come home from the hospital. And she said while she was in the hospital, there was another lady there in the maternity section with her. And she had her eighth baby. I think the oldest one was 16, right on down through eight that were there. And this lady talked to her and met her there in the hospital and left. And one day she saw her in the store. She said, lady, I have my second child, and it seems like my work has increased tenfold with just two children. She said, I don't know how in the world you get it done, all that you need to do with eight children. And the lady said, well, I'm no busier than you are. She said, what do you mean? She said, well, you've got 24 hours in a day. I've got 24 hours in a day. That's all there is. And she said, if God only gives us 24, then that's all we need. You know, people say, well, I wish you had more time. No, you don't need more time. And she said, well, I don't see how in the world you get everything done. She said, that's the secret. I don't do everything. I just pick out the most important things that day, and I do them. She said, I can't do everything every day, but I can do the important things every day of my life. Living day by day. Don't try to get everything done in one day. Just pick out the important things and do them. He said in verse 8, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, Lord, bless the Word of God and the truth given. And I know it's simple, but this helps me, Lord. This helps me. I know as I come here and think about my church in Pensacola, and even leaving today, last night, there was phone calls of this family and this person and this situation. And Lord, if I tried to fix everything or tried to look at everything at once, I'd be overwhelmed. But all you ask us to do is take it one day at a time. Help those people tonight that have health problems. Take it one day at a time. Those that are going through some family problems or maybe some work problems, something physical or emotional or spiritual in their life. And help us to learn one of the real secrets of serving you, and that is living day by day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.